Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my Savior, and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year! 2020! Who knew? A whole new decade! I want to start this new year with two confessions. Number one is that I am wearing brand new shoes. And there's a reason for it, and you will find out very soon. And the second thing is that usually Blake tells me, preach this day. But I ask him to preach today. And the reason for that is because of all the days, tonight is my really most favorite night. It is the special night for me. Tomorrow we walk into the fullest 12th day of Christmas. And tonight I am going to go and take the shoebox of my new shoes, go and get monkey grass, put it in the box, and put the box next to my bed. And tomorrow morning, the three kings will come. The three kings, they come to people who've been good through the year. And I like to believe that I have been good enough to get my gifts. This idea of the three kings might sound a little weird to you. But you see, when my parents were growing up, there was no Santa Claus. So when I grew up, we in Puerto Rico were Americanized enough to have Santa Claus, but we always have had the three kings. It is part of the colonization of Spain to the New World. So children from Central and South America, today they go and they get grass for the camels so the camels can get strength and they can go from one house to the next to deliver gifts to children. It is my favorite day. And if you've ever been in my house, that is the reason why we have three kings everywhere. The story of the three kings is the story of today's gospel. And it's a story that you know. But if you paid attention today, Marty read something that probably doesn't match what you know about these three kings. The first thing is that they were not kings. The Bible said that they were wise men, or, based on some translations, that they were magi. We believe there were kings based on Psalm 72, where it says that may all kings fall down before him. We do not know there were three. The only reason why we think and we say there were three is because there were three gifts. So we're assuming that there were one per each gift. In the Bible, nowhere in the Bible, there's a mention of their names. So this idea of Melchor and Balthasar and Gaspar came 500 years after Jesus was born. And it was picked up by the Catholic Church by a document that was found. All these things about the story that they don't match. But the story continues to be mystical, continues to be powerful. So powerful that in every nativity scene we look around, there are three kings. The wise men that described the Bible were wise indeed. They were, they had astrological knowledge, they had good instinct, but they also knew how to follow protocol. In a way that they were following a star, but that star did not stop at the palace of Herod. But they did. And they did because they knew better. They knew that they needed to start asking for this king at the palace of the king. So when they go and they ask and they say, hey, you know, we're here and there's a king that is being born, imagine the face of Herod. A baby? A king? I have no baby been born. I mean, what's going on? So, a little bit confusing. I am sure that this wise man invited Herod to come and said, come on, let's go, let's see this king. And Herod said, not going. You go. Go and find out. And I'll stay here. Right? Very interesting reaction. And a very interesting lesson. Because something that we experience in our lives is that sometimes, in our way to Jesus, we encounter people who does not know about Jesus. We have people who do not want to know about Jesus. And we have people who are just suspicious about Jesus. It's the way things are. And we see this since the early story of Jesus. King Herod's response was not surprising. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was a soldier who did really well for Rome. And in compensation of him winning so many battles, the emperor said, I'm going to make you the governor of Judea. And 7 years later, this was about year 47 before the Common Era, and about 7 years later, the emperor said, I'm going to make you now the king. So he was the king because he was assigned to be the king. And he, opposite to what most people believe, he was a really good king. It was during the reign of King Herod that the temple was rebuilt. He built wonderful places in the city, a wonderful palace. He was a generous king. He melted down his own plate of gold to buy corn for the people who were starving. But in his old age, he was also human, and in his old age, he became insanely suspicious. So suspicious that he killed his wife, his mother-in-law, and three of his sons, because he was concerned that they wanted to take the crown away from him. King Herod was half Jew. So he knew the scriptures. And he knew that in Micah 5, it says that in Bethlehem, a king will be born who would stand in the strength of the Lord. And he knew he was not that king that the scriptures were talking about. So without knowing, this wise man who came to visit Jesus earned Jesus' first enemy. Just like that. And it happens because in this world we live, enemies, they arise from unexpected and undeserved situations, even when we are inviting them to meet God. But God is always with us, and God never stops announcing God's news to God's people using unexpected ones. Think about this. These wise men were not Jews. They were astrologers. They knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. And they knew that the Old Testament said that guidance only comes from the Lord. I mean, in Deuteronomy, in Daniel, and in Isaiah, we see verses that says, do not get guidance from the astrologers. Don't do it. So they knew they were walking into Jewish territory, and they have to be extremely careful. And they did. They knew that they were going to be considered second-class citizens in that territory. But once again, God uses the unexpected, the second-class people, to be able to go and deliver the message. God gave the message to the kings followed the star, the king said, we're not going to miss this, and we're going to see what's going on, and we're going to meet this king. They probably traveled in a caravan, and when they went into this place, they saw this king in the most humble situation of all. They saw this king that was probably surrounded by shepherds. It was one of those moments when the mundane and the divine, when the rich and the poor, when the Jew and the Gentiles come together with the common purpose of praising the King of Kings. And they were probably completely overwhelmed with the unexpected. So they opened their chest of treasures. And they found out what they had earned, and they gave the best they got. Something very interesting about the story is how the gifts were so prophetic. They gave gold. Gold, the king of all metals. They gave frankincense, the gift for a priest that is present in temple worships and sacrifices. And they gave myrrh, the gift for one who is to die, that is used to embalm the bodies of the dead. At the moment these wise men showed up, they prophetically narrated the story of Jesus, that Jesus was going to be the King of Kings, that Jesus was going to be the High Priest, and that Jesus was going to die to be the Savior of Saviors. I love the story. I don't have to tell you that. I am controlling myself from jumping. You know, one of the parts that I love so much about the story is that it's so mystical. And we, Christians, are comfortable with mysticism, right? Because it's part of what we do. It's part of our Christian identity. But I know there are some Christians that struggle with the mystical part of our faith, and it's perfectly okay. But for those who struggle with mysticism, I'll tell you a quote from Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein says, quote, "The most beautiful emotion we can experience is the mystical. It is the source of all true art and science. The one to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead." Close the quote. Friends, the story that we know is the story of the beginning of salvation. Today, you can choose the character you want to be. You can be Melchior or Gaspar or Balthazar or any other name, because the story of the Magi is the story of encountering and finding the light of hope, the star of believing. It's the story of coming to find and meet the King. It is the story that allows us to bring ourselves just the way we are. And just the way we are, through this story, we can encounter hope and faith and acceptance, grace and love. It is the story where the mystical overrides the intellectual. And the best, very best part of the story is that the story does not... Let me stop jumping. The story does not end. The story is repeated tonight for me. When I put the grass in the shoebox and wake up tomorrow morning to receive, hopefully, a token, a reminder of love. But most importantly, the story is repeated for you and for me and for all of us this morning. Today, Jesus will be waiting for you, as Jesus does again and again here in this altar. You don't have to be anything. All you need to be is baptized to the Episcopal Church. You just come. Come and be one of those wise men who decided to come to the altar and see Jesus. Jesus is and will be waiting for you. And you have the opportunity to come in awe and admiration for this King and bring yourself as you are. Bring your gifts, as little or as big as you think they are, and reveal the prophecy, the prophetic story of salvation. Salvation for you and salvation for me. And you will be able to create this faithful personal and mystical experience right here in Hoover, Alabama, at the Church of Holy Apostles. This morning, you are invited to be one of those wise men on your own journey of faith, in your own way. And for that invitation, we say, thanks be to God. So come, 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 come. Amen.